Every business has an ambition. PayPal Open is the platform designed to help you grow into yours. With business loans so you can expand and access to hundreds of millions of PayPal customers worldwide. And your customers can pay all the ways they want. With PayPal, Venmo, Pay Later, and all major cards. So you can focus on scaling up. When it's time to get growing, there's one platform for all business. PayPal Open. Grow today at paypalopen.com. Loan subject to approval in available locations.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
The Vox Markets Podcast. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome back, everyone, to Vox Markets. My name is Paul Hill. I'm delighted again to be able to speak to CEO Martin Gulston of Oncommune, a leading life sciences firm providing autoantibody profiling services across the drug development industry to enable precision and personalized medicine. So welcome, Martin.
Thanks, Paul. Good to be back.
Yeah, well, big congrats on last Friday's $1.5 million contract with a large biopharma group and positive trading update. But before we sort of run through those details, I don't suppose you could quickly remind the audience exactly what the company does and how it sort of helps clients.
Sure, no problem. So we're essentially an autoantibody profiling business. What this means is that we can track and work out what's happening in the immune system of patients in clinical trials, or what's happening in the bodies of animals in development, trying to track the impact or effect of new therapeutic drugs or therapies on their immune systems and how that relates to how those therapies work.
And that's basically can be a positive and a negative. So effectively, if you've got a new drug which is being developed, say, I don't know, immuno-oncology treatment, etc., it might create, that new drug may create side effects, which is caused, you know, by the patient's immune system. But it might also have therapeutic benefits because the drug deliberately wants to use the immunosystem to fight, say, a cancer. Does it work both ways, or are you mainly looking at the side effect side?
No, we're looking at both ways. So principally, I'd say the way that we are increasingly seeing our technology being applied is in what's called mode of action confirmation. So the US FDA regulatory body increasingly wants to understand how the drugs are working, or wants the pharmaceutical sponsor companies to explain or be able to explain how the drug is working in the patient. And that's fundamental, because how it affects their biology, as you alluded to, can affect how the body reacts adversely as well as positively towards the drug. So one area that we are particularly active in is in adverse event prediction for immune response related adverse events in trials or side effects, but also in patient stratification or patient enrichment in clinical trials. So working out how patients are responding well, what is it in their immune systems that's being triggered that's enabling them to respond well, and then potentially introducing ways of enriching patient populations in later stage, very large, very expensive trials to ensure that they are optimized. So it effectively potentially saves the pharmaceutical companies both time and money, but it's really more about ensuring that the drug has the best opportunity to work in the patient population that it's picked for.
Great. And so in terms of the actual contract win, the $1.5 million, how does that fit into that sort of, like, you know, the application area? Is it in the trials sort of stratification? Is it in side effects? Is it in positive benefits of it? How is this the new sort of, like, you know, large contract that you've won for the Immuno Insights business?
Yeah, that's a good question. So the work originated from some pilot study work we did earlier this year. It was for us a breakthrough in being able to profile IgE, which is a type of immunoglobulin in the blood that is masked typically by the much more common IgG. So it's very hard to uncover that and to be able to look for autoantibodies that are interacting with that. So what we've been able to do is work out a new approach using our technology to successfully do that. And that opens up potentially a new area for biomarker development and patient response in certain indications and conditions related to the immune system. And in this case, it's really more, I think, about mode of action confirmation, patient stratification, rather than necessarily side effect profiling.
And which disease area is it for? Because I know you've got plenty of sort of like areas. You've got immuno-oncology, you've got infectious diseases, autoimmune, and you mentioned last time when we spoke the longevity aging side and neuroscience actually. So you've got plenty. Or is this, does this cover
We're
a whole
covering all the
lot?
bases now.
I know.
Yeah,
Does that just cover all of
I
it?
think by a sidebar, I mean, I think that's really illustrating the growing importance and focus on how the immune system responds to drugs and the importance of autoantibody profiling. So for that for us, that is only a good thing, and that is in part driven by regulatory pressures, which again is only a good thing for us. In this case, I can't really go into great detail about the indication area without perjuring myself, so I'll just leave it that it's an immune-mediated response that we're looking at.
Okay, good. And then when we last touched base, you were talking about obviously the current demand picture across the industry. We had a,
Yeah.
you know, across the sort of clinical development, clinical trial business, we did actually have a bit of a positive read this morning. Ixyko, it basically it does AI-enabled medical imaging for neuroscience, and actually it's seen a pickup in the clinical trial activity. Admittedly, it's a totally separate area from Oncoimmune, but how are you sort of seeing the current demand picture with your customer base?
Yeah, it's a good question. So it's been widely reported, I think, in the literature that there has been a drop off in outsourcing from big pharma in particular into the research space. I don't know what all of the factors are driving that, but obviously their own financial performance has to be high on the list. But we like others, are seeing an uptick in willingness to make decisions now. So a lot of the things that we've been looking at for a while with our partners that were embargoed from a budget perspective are being released. So we are seeing definitely an uptick in activity and conversion of opportunities. So we were very excited and pleased to release, or I was, to release the news last week about this new contract win. But watch this space, because we have others queued up. So I think it's not like the like buses, but it's a little bit like buses.
Yeah, okay. Well, London buses we're talking about. Yeah, okay. And then so that seems to be sort of flowing through into sort of, because I remember you talked about 12 months ago that, well, not when you joined, but sort of 6, 9 months ago, you put a £3 million revenue figure for FY24. That's the year ending August of this year. And you've hit it. You seem to have hit it anyway. That's sort of the indication. We're not quite there at the end of August. And then likewise, in terms of, I think there's a much bigger target for next year's £6.9 million, which is in the broker forecasts, etc. How are you seeing the sort of the company transitioning on that and dovetailing obviously with that current demand?
Yeah, it's a good question. So I mean, the official guidance is that we've reaffirmed our guidance of an approximately £3 million revenue for this year. Obviously, our year ends at the end of August, somewhat bizarrely. Again, not my choice, but what I've inherited. But that compares very well with last year, where from continued operations we only saw revenues, total revenues of 1.17 million. And the prior year as well wasn't as high. So we've definitely grown the baseline of the business. I think it's a vindication of the commercial strategy that I announced in October, and that is working. The 6.9 in Cavendish's broker note for next year looks achievable and would be, or lead us into profitability as a business, which would be very exciting. So I can see at the moment, with the commercial momentum we're developing, and what I see as our potential coverage for that figure already, that I remain positive and confident around that number.
That's good. And just I'd highlight to invest, I think the shares are currently trading at about 12p, and I'm based on those sort of forward estimates of for this current year ending August 2025, Cavendish have a target price of 50p compared to the current share price of 12p. So we're all rooting for you there, Martin.
Thanks. I mean, I think it's a feature of AIM, sadly. I mean, it wasn't that long ago we were trading at 30p a share, 24p, 30p a share. So you have to look at our share price as an absolute bargain at the moment. And the harsh reality is that if one individual decides to sell off a relatively small amount of shares, the share price just drops. And it's incredibly frustrating as the CEO of an AIM company. I have no control over my share price. So I think 50p is very hit up doable, given where we've been very recently and off of obviously lower numbers. But who knows, Paul?
No, absolutely. I mean, it's just that it's Cavendish's target, and you can't control what the market does. So we all get that. That's absolutely totally understood. Now, another side of it is obviously sorting out the sort of the funding and the balance sheet. And I know you've got a credit facility of about 6 million euros from IPF management. And can you just talk through what the company, I know your finance director is going to be busy, what the company's planning to do?
So we're in the process of renegotiating that debt provision, as you know, as we've mentioned. I can't really say too much at the moment because obviously those discussions are still in process. But I'm, as with all things, hoping to be able to make some kind of announcement on that in the next weeks. I can't say for sure at the moment, but in the next weeks. But it's yeah, I mean it's a process. It's like everything else. But I think, you know, they like us are buoyed by the fact that we're seeing commercial traction in the market. And I think the turnaround of the business that I instituted a year ago, it's actually just over a year since I joined, seems to really be bearing fruit in a positive way. So yeah. And I think, you know, the external forces in the market. So we're growing increasingly seeing regulatory driven decisions affecting companies coming to us to help. So they're being pressured by regulators or by key opinion leaders who they want to market their drugs to ultimately, to do work involving our platform. So that for me is one of the strongest commercial drivers that I can see positive external drivers, as well as our own ability to generate interesting data and to make breakthroughs, fundamental breakthroughs in the science.
Yeah, no, it must be lovely to have inbound sort of people knocking on your door, that's for sure, in this tough
Yeah, so that
environment.
makes a nice change, definitely. So, I mean, we were at BIO, which is the largest partnering conference in the industry in the summer in June. And we actually have, for the first time in any company I've ever worked for or been in charge of, Big Pharma proactively reaching out through the partnering software to meet with us. So it was a very successful meeting. We had about 135 new contacts. We did a panel that I was on the last day with Roche and with Cedars-Sinai on the panel, which was really well received and very well attended. So overall, that was a super positive event for us. And again, just showed, I think, the growing interest in the autoantibody space. The other point I'd like to make from the market perspective is that there's a certain class of molecule that are very popular with pharma at the moment called ADCs. They're basically an antibody added to a drug, and the antibody is like the warhead, the highly targeted warhead, and then the drug is the payload, as it were. And those traditionally are being developed a lot in oncology. And what we're seeing is pharma are now experimenting with those in autoimmune disease as well, because they see the potential for from a biology perspective of those drugs being able to work in those autoimmune conditions. So we feel we're very, very strongly positioned to take advantage of some of that movement across, that spend across from ADCs. So I think there are lots of external growing factors that are very positive for us at the moment commercially and helping to drive this performance.
Yeah, and I think there's plenty of other developments, isn't there? Because I know vaccines are becoming more popular in that whole drug discovery area, and also gene editing. They have a lot of side effects from the immune system as well. So future, I know they're not right in your sort of your wheelhouse at the moment, but it just shows you how
Well,
important.
so oncolytic viruses definitely are in our wheelhouse, and we've done some work in those already. And messenger RNA created vaccines, like the COVID vaccine, particularly that is available through Pfizer, also are areas of interest for us and where the technology can be helpful. So it really is, I think, a technology whose time is coming now, much more so, and it gives me a lot of positive impetus going forwards. It really does.
Yeah, well, you're going to be a busy man. Now, just to finish on this, we've got a news flow. We may or may not have something in terms of the refinancing. Is there anything else before the sort of the prelims, which may be sort of like early quarter one or late Q4, whatever? But anything else which people should watch out for?
Well, so we announced the new strategy, commercialization strategy of the business last October. We've also finished some work on mission, vision, values for the business, which we've also talked about. I think for me, those are three legs of the stool, and the final leg of the stool, which is really about the transformation of the business. So this year has been about, setting the plan, consolidation. Next year is about enacting that and growth. And part of that is a rebrand exercise for the business. So we will be relaunching the business with a new name and a new brand sometime in early October. And that work has been ongoing as well. And I'm very excited about that for obvious reasons. But I think that will complete the transformation of the business by then.
Fab. Okay, well, very much
This is
look.
a scoop, Paul. You're the
I
first to hear.
know. I'm fantastic. That's great. Brilliant to know. And certainly, I know investors will be keen to hear the new brand. That's for sure. So, thanks again, and really well done, Martin. And look forward in touching base going forward.
Yeah, thanks, Paul. I look forward to speaking again soon.
The Vox Markets Podcast. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Every business has an ambition. PayPal Open is the platform designed to help you grow into yours. With business loans so you can expand and access to hundreds of millions of PayPal customers worldwide. And your customers can pay all the ways they want. With PayPal, Venmo, Pay Later, and all major cards. So you can focus on scaling up. When it's time to get growing, there's one platform for all business. PayPal Open. Grow today at paypalopen.com. Loans subject to approval in available locations.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.